When I got paroled, they had a surprise party for me, and it genuinely was a surprise party, and they held it at a restaurant where my mother was a waitress at, and Vince, my partner, knew about it, and as I said, Mikey Swydeck still was in jail, so we drove over to my mother's restaurant, and I said, what are we going here for? And he said, oh, you're... He says, your mother's got something. She called me and told me to tell you to come and pick it up at the restaurant. And I said, oh, okay. So when we got over there, we walked in and there was a whole bunch of people in there. Hey, and they were all, you know, greeting me. And it was really nice. I mean, there was everybody there. Tony was there, Splacho's kid brother Michael was there. And every legitimate guy and illegitimate guy I could think of was there. And when you get out of jail in them days, I don't know how they do it now, everybody gives you, it's like a wedding, you know, they give you a boost, an envelope. And I wound up with like $6,000 from money from everybody, which was pretty nice. Anyway, I was in a halfway house and I had to get this job, which my mother arranged for me. Through her boss, he, besides owning this restaurant, he also owned a dental laboratory where he made false teeth and stuff. Now, I don't know shit about making false teeth or impressions. So I made a deal with this guy that if he gave me a paycheck, I would kick the paycheck back to him. And, you know, so he wouldn't get screwed on the money. So every paycheck, every Friday, I'd go there and collect this paycheck and sign it and hand it back to him. And I'd done this for the remainder of the time I was in a halfway house. And while I was in the federal prison, I wind up going back with my second wife, Mary. So she used to sneak over there at night and pick me up in a car that I bought with her through a company she worked at, which was called Burt Wyman Ford. So I bought a brand new Thunderbird, all black, and she used to come there and pick me up and drop me off at nights at this halfway house. Anyway, in this time period, I wind up with an argument with her and wind up... giving her the car back, and she gives me the ring back that I gave her from our marriage, which was a 6-carat diamond ring. I didn't ask for it back. We made a deal. She gets the car, and I get to take the ring. So I took the ring, and I give the ring to my kid brother to give to his wife. I didn't even want the fucking thing. So somebody approaches me, and they tell me that would I like to be their partner in this property or right across the street from Wrigley Field. Now, this guy was a Chicago policeman. His name was Robert Allen, or Bob Allen. And and I'm looking at the guy like, what the hell? He don't even know me that well. He knows my kid brother. Why does he want me in on this deal with him? Well, anyway, who am I to question it? It's free. So this guy owned a hotel in a black neighborhood where he rented rooms out in it also. So I used to go back and forth there with him to the hotel. I guess it was like his protection guy or something. So he had this property. He didn't have it quite yet. So we bought it from this cab guy, cab company. And it was just a little bitty spot right on the corner of Clark and Addison. And there was a gas station there that was closed down. So we got a loan at the bank to pay this guy. And... what we paid for this piece of property is a ridiculous amount of money, $15,000, which today it's probably worth $3 million. And we bought this property, then floated another loan for $15,000 to take this gas station and make it into a fast food place, which we called the Beef Barn. We made the place, me and this kid Zarelli, whom was a carpenter. My intentions were at this time to be perfectly legit. I had no plans of being a criminal. So I built this restaurant along with this guy with our own two hands, and we built a beautiful place. And my mother, she wanted to work there, and I put her to work in there, and she prepared all the food. And we had a grand opening there, and we were doing very well there. And I had a few employees. I had a delivery service. And we were just making it, because it takes a while in a restaurant business to make money. Now the cops find out where I'm at. They start coming in there, trying to bust my balls. They didn't want to believe in their little brains, their little hearts, that I was trying to be legit. And I tried to be nice and friendly with them, but they just couldn't get in their head that I wasn't doing anything or hanging with anybody. Well, when Tony finds out I got the joint, Tony Splaccio, he comes into town, and he was living in Vegas, and this is 1974. He comes over to the restaurant, and he brings the dinger with him, Jerry Corsello. And we're all in the back and laughing and joking, and he's so proud of me that I open up this beautiful place. And at the time, I think it's worth a couple hundred thousand, so the value increased. We were able to park like 16 cars there whenever there was a ball game, because it was right across the street from Wrigley Field, where the Cubs played baseball, right by the box seats. So all of a sudden, my windows start getting broke. Somebody's breaking the windows. And I'm trying to catch these guys, but it's awful hard to know who's doing it to start with, and to catch somebody, because they wouldn't pick any special night or any special time. And I was like really getting disgusted with this happening. So I told my partner that I was going to burn the fucking joint down and collect for the insurance. Oh, no, please don't do that, this and that. He goes into his rage. Oh. So I said, well, I'll just disappear. I'll go to Vegas, and when I come back, it'll be burned down. You won't have nothing to worry about. Yeah, we'll collect the insurance money. No, please don't do that. Well, I sort of feel like right now that he was probably a part of that deal breaking the windows. He knew that I would probably want out of there, and he knew how much money this place was going to be worth. So he offered me some money not to do it, and I did it, and I walked away from the place signing all the papers. Anyway, as I said, this place today is worth a few million. It's not a restaurant anymore. It's a souvenir shop, and it's doing quite well. Anyway, while this is going on, a guy comes to me, one of my friends, Tony, and this other guy, Tony, he owns a big trucking company, and he wants to do something for me because I'm out of jail and this and that. So he says, here's $2,500. Go buy this guy, Joey, owns a Pontiac dealership, and buy yourself another car. So I says, okay. So I take the $2,500. I go over to this guy, Joey, owns this Pontiac Cadillac dealership up east. And I give him the $2,500, and he puts me in a Pontiac Grand Prix. Now, this is in that period of time where the windows were being broken in my place. And I received the title in the mail for the car. So when I get the title in the mail, I go, fuck, they sent me the title. They must have made a mistake. Clear title, no loan. I know I got financed. We worked it out where I could get financed through GMAC. So I did a little inquiry about that, and I was told that as long as you got the title, you own the car. So immediately, I take the car and I trade it in on a new Lincoln Continental. The guy who owns the car lot calls me, tells me, GMAC calls me, and they ask for a payment. I said, payment on what? You don't own no car. And they says, well, we don't have the title. I said, then you don't own any car. I owe you nothing. So without a word said, after that, the lady hangs up, and she gets a hold of the dealership, and the guy at the dealership gets a hold of me, And I said, Joey, I hate to do this to you, but you're fucked. I said, write it off as a bad loan. I didn't know this guy, you know, but I didn't give a fuck anyway. Anyway, he gets a hold of the outfit on me, Cicero guys. And he explains to them the situation. So I get whistled in, and I go to Cicero, and I go with another outfit guy. It's a little sit-down. So I sit down, and this guy owned one of these pests where you spray for pests, you know, termites and shit. And he's an outfit guy. So I sit down, and he says, hey, how you doing, all so on? He said, you're with Tony. I had a little guy. And I said, yeah. He said, I understand you beat Joey out of some money with the dealership. And I said, yeah. I says, I got the title. And he's laughing. He said, well, he says, they want me to do something about it. He says, but I can't. He's a dumb son of a bitch. He says, he's on you the title. He's here with the little guy. He says, forget about it. He says, he's fucked. He says, I'll make sure he knows. And he, you know, and then we talked a little bit, laughed a little bit, and we left. Anyway, that Joey never bothered me again. And I guess the poor girl that sent me the title lost her job. Anyway, I had to move on, and I was really getting disgusted, but I get some information from a guy that owned a lounge in Schiller Park, and it's all within the same time period, late 74, 75, and I just got off of parole. I got an early termination, terminated from my parole. So I was able to open up this, anything else I wanted to open up. So he said, listen, I'm partners in this disco with a couple guys. One of the guys' names is Joe Pepitone. He's an ex-baseball player for the New York Yankees, I guess. I don't know. He says, the other guy, he says, actually, there's two other partners, too. He said, one guy owns a card shop, gift cards, you know, that you send people, Christmas cards. It's called Jolly Greeting Cards. And the other guy owns a company where they make eyeglass frames. And he's an Italian guy, he said. He said, these are my partners. He said, I got no money into this place. They're using me because I got a, you know, I'm like the fall guy, let's say. He said, but they're fucking up the joint. It's called Joe Silver Slipper. He says, the guy's in there, Joe Pepitone, and he's doing lines of coke at the bar every night. And he says, we were doing real good, now the place is going downhill. He says, I hate to blow this. I says, sure you hate to blow it. You got no money in it. He said, but there's a catch. He says, if you're interested and you're ready to buy it, he says, I'll tell you what the catch is just about when you're ready to buy it. So I says, all right. So I went and seen this guy, Tony, and I say, Tony, I need 15G. I had the money, but I was the kind of guy that'd rather use your money than mine. So I see Tony, and I said, Tony, he's got this trucking company. And he says, you want to get rid of 15,000? I give it to you back. I said, I got this opportunity to take over this big disco. And he says, yeah. So he gives me the 15G, and I tell Tino, the guys who approached me about the lounge. Okay, I got it. Now we could do it. And he said, all right. He said, I want to tell you that the guy that we're on the muscle here, he says, right now. I said, what do you mean you're on the muscle? He says, the outfit's getting $1,600 a week out of us. We got to keep their pinball machines and game machines in there. He says, and every week this guy, Louis DeMooch, comes by. And he makes his collection of this $1,600. He says, so I don't know if you want to get involved in taking over this place. He said, but I know you're connected. So I said to him, well, let me go see Joe Lombardo. I said, but I'm going to call Tony first. So I called Tony Splaccio in Vegas, and I told him what I had planned. And he said, well, go see the clown. Go see Joey and tell him, and he'll talk to Louis DeMooch. And I'm sure Louis will have to back off. So that's what took place. I did see Joe, and Joe told Louis, you got to back off. Frankie's taking over the place. So I met with the Jew guy that owned the Jolly Greeting Cards, and I gave him some money, not a lot, maybe $6,000. And I told him, really, you got to accept the money because it's better than getting nothing and being thrown out of the fucking place. I went and seen the Dago that made the eyeglass frames and gave him some more money and told him I'd owe him $5,000. He could come and get it. I give him payments on that. Joe Pepitone, I think we gave $5,000 to run him out of there. And Tino's name remained on the liquor license, and I took over this place. So the first thing I did was I took everything out of there, and I changed the name, and I called it Spanky's. You heard of Our Gang Comedy? Well, that's what I named it, and I put all the memorabilia on the wall, and I made it into a beautiful, beautiful disco. I put like 15 large sofas in there, king-size sofas. I built a special room for VIPs where you could go in the special room and drink without hearing all this loud noise. Of course, you had to have a key to get in there, and the key would cost you money. And once you owned the key, you owned the room, let's say. It was your private room, along with who else owned the key. And we're doing real good there, making a lot of money there.